Verse 16 is our memory text for tonight, plus 9 to 11. So we begin with verse 16. Holding for the word of life. Do you know, 53 years ago, when our BP church began, this was the theme verse chosen by the founder, Reverend Timothy Toh. Holding for the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Let's read it together and then we recite it. Philippians 2:16, holding for the word of life, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. The first church was called Life Church, and this was the theme verse, holding for the word of life. We'll try it again. Philippians 2:16, holding for the word of life, I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run, neither labored in vain. Philippians 2:16. All right, you practice it at home afterwards. Now the main text for tonight is verses 9 to 11 of the same chapter. Philippians 2, verse 9, together. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every tongue confess, Jesus is Lord, to the glory of the Father. I'm sorry. Verse 10 together again. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in earth and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. I have a magic torch which I brought to supplement the light here. The light is shining more into my eyes than into the text. Please understand, my eyes are not as good as yours. All right, once more, Philippians chapter 2, verses 9, 10, and 11 together. Philippians 2, 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every tongue should confess. Things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess. Glory of God the Father. Amen. How do you respect your parents? This is very relevant to what we are going to talk tonight about respecting God. You know, as I look through my little chorus book, so many of the choruses just go on straight and talk about Jesus Christ and not a word about Lord. So there are many hymns which you have chosen, the organizers, in your hymnal, in the handbook. They are beautiful hymns, and I must commend whoever chose those hymns for those hymns, full of reverence and respect to the name of Jesus our Lord. How do you respect your parents? 50 years ago or so, I was sent to the United States to a very famous hospital called Johns Hopkins. And the professor was called Aaron Barnes, and very hospitable people are the Americans. He invited me back home for dinner. I was so happy. And in came the son, a teenage boy. "Hello, Len." I was wondering, what's this boy is called the father. So later, I quietly asked him, "Is that boy yours? And he's calling you by your name?" "Oh," he says, "oh, yes." I said, "Then, how do you call him?" "Oh, I call him Len. He calls me Alan. Alan Barnes." Son calls him Alan, and he calls the son Len. This is how they differentiate. "How does your son call you?" I must say, there is much to be said for the Chinese culture. Or I think the Malay culture is equally good. We were invited to a certain function when we had those reunion meetings and dinners. And the royalty was invited. And the one who had to make the speech in front of royalty, you know, the address to the royalty took about 2 full lines of honorifics to honor the Sultan. That those words had to be carefully studied because they're not common words. All because he's the Sultan. When you come to God, nowadays, when you go to many countries, the name of Christ is used as a swear word. In Australia, you ask any average person, "What do you know about Jesus Christ?" "Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ, a superstar on the screen. That's all they know about it." When we had the workers working in the house, half the time they were swearing at each other. Their normal speech was to swear. And in the course of swearing, they used Jesus Christ as a swear word. How do you respect your Lord? This is a topic of great importance because how we respect the Lord is reflected also in how you respect parents. As I said, when I went to America, I was struck by this young boy who came into the house and said, "Hello, Alan," or "Hello, Len," whichever it is. So that is the amount of respect they have for the parents. I hope that this kind of culture will not come in to us. And one day, your grandson will address your son by the first name. The Word of God is full of honor and great respect for the name of God and for the person of God. Please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6 in the Old Testament, and I read for you the first 5 chapters. Have you found the text? Isaiah 6. You ready? Anyone not ready wish for more time? All right, I'm going to read. "In the year that the king Uzzah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up,
and his train filled the temple. This is a scene in heaven. And Isaiah saw this. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, with which he covered his face. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he did fly. And one cried out to the other, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole world, all earth, is filled with his glory." And the posts of the door of the temple moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I have seen. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King Almighty, the Lord of heaven, the Lord of hosts." Amen. You see, we take the name of the Lord so commonly, mainly because the cultural trend nowadays address Jesus and Christ as though he's a buddy-buddy. Some of the fault of it, as I said, is in the hymns that we sing. Many of the choruses just go straight into Jesus without Lord or anything, and we all sing it. They're quite good. Nothing wrong, except when you begin to analyze, then you realize how great a disrespect it is. Let us have a more proper and reverential view. And for that, will you please turn with me to the returning Lord Jesus as he comes to earth. This is described in Revelation chapter 19. And the view of God, Jesus Christ, Son of God, God the Son, coming is an awe-inspiring view which must cause us to think again how we respect our Lord. We're talking of Jesus coming to earth. Yes, and here it is. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon the horse, his name was called Faithful and True." This is describing Jesus. "And in righteousness he doth judge and make war." And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Remember that this is one of his names. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Verse 14. "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Verse 16, he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Amen. Remember this scene. This gives us an insight of who the Lord is. Oh, dear friends, just because, you know, he humbled himself. God became man for us. That was the first step of his humility. In order that he may reach out to man. And as a man, he became a servant of men. Another step in his humility. And finally, as a servant, he became an obedient servant. Where do you see all this? Let's look at the text again. Philippians chapter 2. It is shining into my eyes all the time. Thank you. I think that's much better. We read again verses 7, 8, 9. He made himself of no reputation. I am on Philippians 2, 7. Jesus made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Here is the first humbling of himself. Oh, dear friends, let us approach unto the Lord with the knowledge of how he humbled himself. He downgraded himself, as it were. First, God became man for us. The mystery of God being made a man, that is a mystery that we cannot understand. He was made in the likeness of man, and verse 8 says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We are so used to reading of the humiliation of Jesus Christ and how he went through all the sufferings before his condemnation and before his crucifixion, the amount of brutality, of humiliation he went through, of shame that he suffered, of spitting, buffeting, beating, scourging, until he went to the cross and he, as a sheep was led to the slaughter, he opened not his mouth. Can we understand this? When we come to the Lord Jesus in prayer, let us understand that is what he went through for our sakes. I say it is not easy for us to understand. I would say it is impossible. Impossible for us to understand the divine mind, God's mind, God's plan for man, God becoming man in order to take the place of man and to take our burden of sin that we could not bear and to bear it for us and to go to the cross and there to die, to shed his blood, to cleanse away our sin and take away that debt of sin. Can you understand? Let us ponder on it. Let us think. Spend some time tonight in your prayer, even now. Lord, what was it you went through? And how can I ever repay it? Oh, dear friends, it is not easy, but at least we can try that God will help us to understand what he went through in order to save us. God becoming man, man becoming a servant, servant going to the death, as a lamb led to the slaughter. Have you ever seen this? I've said this before. Those of us who ever go to a sheep farm, when you need a sheep for dinner, I've seen this on a film. The Arab boy takes the sheep by the four legs and just drag him along. The sheep goes without a murmur. This is a picture, and we cannot understand it. A picture of Jesus going to the cross without complaint, willingly. What for? For us, he went to provide for us an escape and a cleansing of our sins and escape from the burden of sin. This is the redemption that he bought for us with his own blood. So, dear friends, next time we pray, next time we sing songs, next time we approach unto the holy throne of grace, remember, Jesus went through all that for your sake, for my sake. And he says, go into all the world and tell, make it known to them. Do you know that when Jesus went to heaven, the number of converts was just 11 left and a few others. And with that, there was the plan of God that all the world should come to repentance. And how can it be, except those who know Jesus will go out and tell. This is the divine plan. And how can we go? How should we go? Except we understand God sent Jesus. Jesus died for us. And he says, go and tell. Go and tell the world the good news. I've said this. I've written it, reported it in the weekly. Most of you have read it, how that through the death of a boy from Vietnam, the family came to understand the crux of Christianity. God became man, humbled himself to die for us and to buy for us with his own blood, purchase us our salvation. And now he says, go, go and tell. I say, dear friends, when you ponder and think, it is going to change your whole attitude in the way you regard to the Lord's name. You regard your relationship to the Lord, how he has done so much, paid the price, and how he has saved you. And he says, go for me. I'm returning to heaven. You go for me on earth and do the work for me. This is the divine command. So the next time we think, let me go. Let me go. Let me go and tell others. How many of you have thought of loved ones who are still outside Jesus Christ. I was very touched when I was in Perth, and there were families who over dinner talked about their unsaved relatives, how they needed the gospel, and how they had brought so many to come to the church and to receive salvation. How about us? Dear friends, give it a thought. And if you truly love the Lord and want to repay the gospel debt, think, how do you regard his day? The modern culture is the long weekend. You know, the long weekend started with Sunday, adding Saturday to fuse with it. And then adding the Friday afternoon. And in some places, Friday also, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Long weekend. What for? For their own selfish, carnal pleasures. Think of it. If Jesus came from heaven to earth, became a man, and went to the cross willingly for you and for me, to open for us this way back to heaven. And he says, go, are we? Think of the Lord's day. Think of the Lord's house. If we truly love the Lord, how can we go to the house of God without preparation? I always remember the teaching and training of father and mother. When I was a small child, to prepare for the Lord's day during the week, not just on Sunday morning, and find your shoes are not white, but to be ready every weekend, get ready to go to the house of the Lord. Is that your attitude towards the Lord's day? Oh, it is not a long holiday. It is the Lord's day. Do you know if we all forget the Lord's day, abolish the Lord's day instantly, Christianity will die. And we say the Lord is coming, we must be ready. I say, how can you get ready? How? Before he comes, let us love his name. Oh, the name of Jesus is so sweet. We only sing of it. How about you think of it? And you think of how to repay the gospel debt. Think of his name. Think of his house. When I was in practice, the first thought is, Calvary in Jurong, which was the first church we planted, I say, that church should be carpeted. And I will not carpet my house until the house of the Lord is carpeted first. And this the Lord enabled me to do. I say, this is to share with you, how do you love the Lord's house? I say, the Lord's house cannot be worse than my house. How can I live in a carpeted house, a house so grand, and the Lord's house is neglected? The same for the name of the Lord. Never use the name of the Lord in vain in any way. But again, I say, you search through the handbook they have received. And I went through all the songs and I was very impressed. Almost all of them, Lord Jesus, God Almighty, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The maximum respect and honor is given to the name of your Savior, my Savior. Do we respect him? Think of the Son who calls a Father by the name. And then the same kind of respect is transferred to God. No, dear friends, the name of the Lord, the day of the Lord, the work of the Lord must have your first priority, my first priority. The gospel of the Lord must go out. And how can it go out if we are not concerned? We have among us our friends from Vietnam. I say there must be a response to the ones who have brought the gospel back to Vietnam. And out of it have come nearly 50 who have come to believe in Jesus Christ. Is there something else, something more we can do? How do you love the Lord Jesus? Coming to a camp like this, spending all the money, investing in your time, your money, your travel, all the troubles you took in order to be here. I rate this as the best campsite ever. And those of you who have been with us to camps will agree. No other campsite is able to supply this kind of venue for meetings, with the dining facility just outside the doors and the living facilities just above us, everything under one roof. Let us ponder and think and ask the Lord to move us, that we may love his name, honor his name, honor his word, his command. Go and be my witnesses. Are you? Let us pray. You spend a moment as you think of our Lord about to return as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Almighty God, coming in great power and glory throughout all the earth, when every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow to him, and you and I sharing his glory and his majesty as followers behind him on white horses coming down from heaven. What is there that we can do? Is there anything left that we can do? Yes, our dear friends, there's so much. Coming to the camp must equip us, provoke us, and stir us on that we'll go back and be his witnesses. Our Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts that we may all understand. Understand the great price that was paid for our redemption, that God Almighty humbled himself and became as a man, as one of us, in sinful flesh and yet without sin. And he went for us to the cross. Oh, the mystery of divine salvation and divine humiliation. Oh, Lord, help us to appreciate and to love thee and to go for thee. Hear my prayer. Bless all who are at this camp, that we hearing will say amen in our hearts and say, Lord, use me. Use me for a witness for you. In Jesus' name, amen.